Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning, world. My name is Andrea Simintov. I'm speaking with you from Israel News Talk Radio, located in Jerusalem. The name of my show is Pull Up a Chair. When we come back, we're just going to give a little intro today. We're going to rant a little bit. I have a little bit to talk about the United Nations Relief Workers Agency, who apparently is going to get their budget slashed. So that's serious, but we're going to give an Andrea slant to it. We're also going to talk about some of the quirkier stories in the news this week. I came across some real Lulus. I'd like your input. And we're going to be introducing a new segment this week called My Jewish Hero. And every week I'm going to introduce you to a you gotta meet type person, man or woman, on Pull Up a Chair, and I think you'll like it. So I'm encouraging you. The chat room is open. The phone lines are open. I want you to call me today. Let's chat. I'm on my third cup of coffee. Somebody once complained I drink a little too much coffee in the morning. You pour yourself a cup or a glass of wine. Call me up. Chat me up. And let's share. All right? We have our producer today. Apparently, I got the word that my producer is pouring whiskey into her coffee. Her, think blonde, think powerful, think Israel News Talk Radio. And you'll know who the sot on the other end of the microphone is. Just saying. All right. So when we come back, we have Cyprus listening in this morning. Very exciting. U.S., Canada, France, and I'm waiting to hear from you. Chat room open. I'm going to check it out. And I just got a threat from a Jewish woman. Threatened me. A blonde Jewish woman who runs a radio station. Just saying. You heard it here first. Israeli police, Israeli Mossad. Very clever. They'll find her. See you on the other side.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Back, Andrea Simintov, Jerusalem, the holy city, capital of the eternal land of Israel for the Jewish people. And I'm back. And okay, here we go. Pull up a chair next to me. I promised you a couple of thoughts. And I need to preface this. In my work, I have a beauty business, I have a personal reinvention business, and I meet women from all walks of life. And I had the great merit of meeting two lovely women this past week who both worked for the American consulate. And they were consulate employees. Both of them are married to some kind of attachés. And they're living in Israel. They're renting homes in my neighborhood. They know nothing about the country to which they were assigned. Absolutely nothing. They knew everything about the Arab school systems. Their children are in international schools. And I was shocked that one could be stationed in a country and have no prior instructions, culture. And it was very, very shocking. And some of them, one of these women I met actually at a business meeting, and she was so excited to find out that she could have materials printed in Israel. She could have materials printed in English. She only knew to go to the Arab sections of town. That's where she got her shopping lists from. It was told where she was going to buy clothing. And I was very, very surprised by this. Okay, just want to shout this out to you. You know, you're going somewhere, do the research. And if you don't do the research personally, America is the big hoo-ha of the world. Do your work. Prep your people. You're coming to Israel. Know about Israel. Okay. A Reuters news story came out this week and talking to us about that the Trump administration is, I don't know if they're threatening, I don't know if they're going to do it, but it has been suggested that they're going to cut $60 million from the UN Relief and Welfare Agency. $60 million. They get over $120 million a year out of the U.S. coffers, the largest donor to the Arab cause. And I would like to know, for anybody out there in business, I know we have people from Cyprus listening in, we have people from North America, we have people from France who are running businesses. And I want to know, when you make an investment, when you are wooed into investing into something, are there any checks and balances? Do you have to have some kind of return on your investment? Or do you just throw the money out and say, do with it what you will? And when you're done, don't report, and we'll give you more next year. I went to the bank yesterday. This is like a whole, you know, I should have been a Catholic because this is the confessional. And years ago, I got myself into a financial situation in Israel where I was actually, it's called Mugbal. And I'm not sure the exact translation of Mugbal. Somebody will type it into the chat room, I hope. And, but I lost my checking account. I lost my borrowing ability. Oh, here, yeah, somebody wrote in. It means limited. Limited is a generous term. Thank you, L drunk producer. Limited is a generous. I lost my checking abilities. I couldn't borrow. I couldn't have a credit card. People came, authorities came to my house and took stock of what I owned. And then I was given a period in which to get out of this situation. And when I came out of the situation, I'm a very good girl. I got a little crown on my head and I got my checkbook back and I got my debit card back. But I went to the bank this week and I needed a 1,000 shekel loan. 1,000 shekels is $250, my friends, $250. And they wouldn't give it to me. You know why? Because a few years ago, my credibility was compromised and there was no one to talk to. I talked to you about the Palestinian Authority. Talk about compromise. What have they done with your money? I ask you, my sappy friends in America. And the crazy thing is that Donald Trump is so unpopular. He's so loathed. He's so cringeworthy every time he opens his mouth that when he says something so right, so accurate, so lucid, people bury their heads and say, this guy's crazy. He may be crazy, but you're being robbed, okay? I love it. Hanan Ashrawi. Everybody knows Hanan Ashrawi. She is the spokesperson. She's a senior official. You know what? Very clever. They had a good PR guy who said, pull out a woman. Let's let a woman be our spokesperson. Then we'll look new age and sensitive. If it weren't for this position, she couldn't be a clerk at a local grocery store in the Arab neighborhoods because they wouldn't let her. She'd be shrouded, I don't know, shrouded or stoned. But anyway, she actually has the gall, the chutzpah, to say chutzpah. All of you say it. All of you non-Jews go cha. Ha, you can do it and be mistaken for a member of the tribe. She talked about how the White House was targeting the most vulnerable segment of the Palestinian people. That's an exact quote. How dare she? Your money going into books promoting hate. Your money going into salaries, a social security, in fact, to the families of murderers. Kill one Jew, you get a certain amount of money. Kill 30 Jews, kill 300 Jews. Your family is set for life. New houses, new kitchens, and automatic vacuuming robots for life. It is a death culture, and you saps are paying for it. Sick. Quick question and aside, anybody listening to this show personally know Fred Maroun, M-A-R-O-U-N? If you do, drop Fred a note. I want to talk to him. I want him on the show. He's coming to Israel. He's lucid. He's cogent. And I just gave him a shout out. All right. When I was in college, we used to play a game. I know that we all think that women are so elegant ever since the Me Too campaign and all of these delicate flowers in Hollywood are just, you know, shaking, quaking because they've been insulted, they've been hurt, they've been objectified. So I was not such a flower in my youth, and I used to play a game with my girlfriends. We would have a glass of wine, and the name of the game was, I hope I don't get kicked off the show now, if he were the last man on earth. There are women now smirking, laughing into their pajamas and going, I can't believe she's telling this. We used to also play the game, if he were the last man on earth. And we would name someone, a popular, well-known, repugnant individual. All right. Today, because Donald Trump is so unpopular, you know, it would be a darling of the left to say, if Donald Trump were the last one on earth, could you propagate the human race? That was the whole idea behind it. Could you propagate the human race with somebody who you found personally repugnant? Could you? And the game always went on, and the game always stopped with one name. The game was over with Jew, Gentile, Black, White. All levels of sexuality. Whenever you got to the name Yasser Arafat, the game was over. There was no one who said, I could not propagate the human race with him. One woman did say to me, if you clubbed me over the head with a rubber mallet and knocked me unconscious, perhaps. He was so reviled. He made no secret of his loathing. And then along comes Abbas, Mahmoud Abbas. Everybody's grandpa, the guy who you could imagine bouncing the grandchildren on his knee. You're hearing it here first. A do-nothing, rabid anti-Semite, a man who blames everyone, a man who in his, has it been, I don't even know how many years, I have it written down, how many years has he been the head of the agency, has done nothing. There have been no Arab lives improved. Instead, they've been shackled. He's a liar. He's delusional. And a liar can only lie to those who are willing to be lied to. He's a Jew hater who spews the same filth. He actually has the chutzpah, a man who hasn't delivered, has a chutzpah to say that Britain should apologize for the 1917 Balfour Declaration. If they'll do that, maybe he'll bring peace. Israel drugs Palestinian children. Drugs Palestinian children? Israel cures Palestinian children. Israel brings Arab children from here, our territories, brings them in from Syria, brings them in from Lebanon, cures them. And then it was quoted that said in his last speech in Ramallah, he committed political suicide. Sorry, writers. Sorry, Reuters. He didn't commit political suicide. He did the same thing as he's always done. He feels trapped. He's not popular. He's a creep. And now he's dumping on his own. He has what to say to Saudi Arabia. He has what to say to Lebanon. He has what to say to Jordan, because he hasn't produced. His people are mired. His people are desperate. And he is the reason. See you on the other side.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the Phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Okay, we are back. I think I had my morning rant. I think I'm done. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair. Israel News Talk Radio. People, I want you to call me up now. I need to talk to you. I keep forgetting to shout it out. In the U.S., do you have a pen? In the U.S., call 301-768-4841. Or if you're in Israel, call Jerusalem 02-6500-151. If you open up to our website, israelnewstalkradio.com, the numbers are posted. I want to talk to you this morning on the air. Okay, couple of quirky stories. I might freak out again. This Abbas guy, he kills me. And you know what? Americans who are not demanding answers. All right, we're not going to talk about it. I don't want to talk about the Golden Globes this week. Oh, this is interesting. Now, let me just see. Got a few of them. I don't want to talk about when I was a teenager, blah, 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 blah. And I don't want to get too so serious. I have so much serious. Oh, Philip Morris. I was a smoker. Anybody listening to the show was a smoker? Let me know if you were also. Okay, I told you this is the confessional. Where is Father Flannery? I need him on the other side. I'm on my knees now. I was a smoker. I loved smoking. I'm telling you now, I loved smoking. For years after I smoked, I would follow smokers down the street and sort of like inhale behind them. And I'm not one of those reformed smokers who, you know, say, oh, you can't stand it. Although I must tell you, when a client comes to me and I know that they're a smoker, it's in their skin. Nevertheless, do you believe this? What are your thoughts? Philip Morris, the great cigarette, the great tobacco manufacturer company, manufacturer of all the brands we grew up on, they say they're giving up cigarettes. They're going to stop manufacturing cigarettes. I'd like to know, get into the chat room, do you believe them? So they say, and they're taking out ads, talk about hopping on the bandwagon, that the customers should also give up cigarettes. Now, in a full page ad in the British newspapers, I know all about England, I have mishpacha there, mishpacha, new word, cha cha cha, another cha word to the listeners, family, mishpacha. They're going to stop selling cigarettes in Britain and to replace them with products like e-cigarettes and heated tobacco. I didn't do my research before the show. I have no idea what heated tobacco is. But the Business Insider reports that the company isn't going to stop cold turkey. We're going to try to go smoke-free as fast as we can. And no cigarette company has done anything like this before. So I scanned the article. This is my aside. And I scanned the article. And how are they going to make their money? Does anybody have any ideas? Is this just a con? I cannot imagine Philip Morris doing this. All right. Last week, I had an incredible story that I wanted to share with you. Lost track of the time. I have a son who lives in Tel Aviv, and he understands my humor, and he knows that this is the kind of thing that would have really gotten me going. So I love this. This was the headline. I kid you not. A man was busted trying to steal a full rack of ribs stashed in his pants. You got this? And I live in Israel. I thought nothing would beat this one. But here is a man who tried to steal a full rack of ribs. And I saw his picture. He was a skinny guy. So I don't know where he thought he was going to hide it. Now, this is the quote. A Florida man with a feast stuffed in his pants was arrested trying to sneak out of a grocery store. His name, actually looks Israeli, the name Ma'eli, but he's not. Ma'eli Alvarez Aguilar, 26 years old. He was taken into custody on a petty merchant theft charge after walking out of a Florida grocery store in Indiantown on December 15th. The arrest affidavit viewed said that he removed a full rack of ribs from his waistband, and when they further searched him, they uncovered 9 pieces of fried chicken, 2 packs of hamburger buns, and some mashed potatoes. Why was he stopped? Apparently, it wasn't his appearance. He had an odor of booze around him, and he was intoxicated, swiping the items from the store. I thought I would share that with you because I would like to try that myself, try that in a kosher butcher. All right. So a few other things. I want you to call me. We're on Israel News Talk Radio. Andrea Simintov, call me. Go into the chat room. I want to hear from you today. New segment on the show we're going to have at the bottom of the hour. Introducing you to a Jewish hero. Now, I have spoken of this before. I read the papers. I read 4 papers online every day, minimally, 4 to 5 papers. And I sometimes have to take some Ipapac syrup, not to puke, because I think about what passes for news today. I know good news doesn't sell, but you know, we are so used to revolting stories and then turning the page, revolting behavior, disingenuous dealings between men and women. And women, here you go. You're going to hear it now. Women who go on bad dates, women who go on disappointing dates and destroy careers. Stories of men who take liberties just because they're men and because they are members of the All Boys Network and Boys Will Be Boys Network. Revulsion, and we turn the page. Movies that are called PG-13. I would not let my grandchildren, I'm in that geezer mode now, see PG-13 with foul language. Who are the heroes? I'll tell you who the heroes are, and I say it each week, and I'm going to say it again. Heroes are the men who go off to work, and there are beautiful secretaries around, and all kinds of enticements, and people who say, why are you so straight-laced? And have a puff and have a toke, or meet with us after work for drinks, and instead they go home to their childhood sweetheart, who might not look the way she looked at 16. They come home to children who've had bad days, who are disappointing in school. These men come home and they walk the walk and they talk the moral talk. These are my heroes. My heroes are single mothers who get up and make breakfast for their children, check homework, do the laundry, fall asleep exhausted, and after they make the last sandwich, take public transportation or drive a beaten down car to a job that might be beneath their academic level, but they bring home the bacon. Not frequently in Israel, the bacon, but nevertheless. My heroes are those who talk the truth, knowing they will never get reelected from talking the truth in the Israeli Knesset. Those who point the finger and say, friars, suckers, stupid. Where is your pride? These are my heroes. And at the end of today's show, toward the end, we're going to meet one of my Jewish heroes. What makes her so heroic? She works. She maintains a home. She maintains a marriage. She has 7 children. She just finished a degree. And she lives in an area of Israel that some would say are disputed. We're going to come back and meet my friend, my guru, someone I admire greatly, from the community of Beit El. Beit El, where Jacob had his dream of the future of the Jewish people. We're going to meet Michali Samuels, mother of 7, housewife, worker, community leader, and admirable Israeli who was born, well, not born, she was born in South Africa, but raised in LA, and instead is a proud settler in our land. And God willing, each week I'm going to introduce you to another terrific Israeli. All right, before we break, we're going to be breaking soon. Okay, I'm sick of Abbas. And let's say anything else I wanted to talk to you about. We talked about the guy stealing the ribs. I like Seth Franzman. Oh, quickly. I must tell you, I'm interested in fashion. I'm interested in fashion, as are you. I was recently hospitalized for a long time. And the worst part of the hospitalization wasn't the stitches. It wasn't the oozing. It wasn't the medication. It wasn't their taking away the morphine. It was the unflattering hospital gowns. So apparently there's a new move. A new designer has designed special care and wear hospital gowns. And we'll probably test it out in Israel first. It's going to fix the problem of embarrassing backside exposure. As someone who walks the hallways, I've seen a lot of embarrassing and very unflattering backside exposure. So it's going to be a thing of the past. Dr. Mark Smith, he's the head of the MedStar Institute for Innovation. Can anyone get Mark Smith on this show? Quick, because they're going to have new gowns, like a giant slit that's going to cover our butts. Well, I got to tell you, on an international level, I never saw a butt from anywhere in the world, even the Kardashians, that I want to see up close. So, new hospital gowns. I'll see you on the other side with my Jewish hero. Bye-bye.
Hey everyone, this is Ari Folder. I want to invite you all to join me on my weekly show, Bulletproof, here on Israel News Talk Radio. It's the weekly show we discover, expose, and destroy all anti-Israel propaganda that's spread throughout the universe, both from outside Israel, including also inside Israel. Join me every week, and let's defend Israel together.
Bulletproof. Live every Sunday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern time.
And we are back. Okay, I had to go and put on my husband's bathrobe because I'm superstitious. And call the show. Everybody, I'd like to talk to you. We're going to be speaking with my next guest, Michali Samuels from Beit El. Beit El in Israel, and go into the, I'm not going to repeat the phone numbers, Israel News Talk Radio, our numbers on the top, call me up. I want you to meet my morning's Jewish hero, Michali Samuels. Michali, are you on the line?
I'm here.
Okay. How many kids are like all over you, like bothering you now?
Well, 4 are out and 3 are still home for some reason.
Okay, So actually, we did something very, very not Jewish. I remember last week I had my cousin on the show, and he said, "How many grandchildren do you have?" That's not something that we do here in Israel very much. We don't count.
Right.
Typically.
But I'm not superstitious. I am not superstitious. I don't believe in anything in terms of ayin hara and somebody's gonna not counting and nah.
Tell us now, how many children do you have?
I have seven daughters.
Very,
very blessed. Seven daughters. Yep.
Poo-poo-poo. Now, you live in... Now, can I just ask you, where were you born, Michali?
I was born in South Africa. I grew up in Los Angeles. And now I live in Beit El, Israel.
Whoa. Where is Beit El?
Yeah. Beit El is north of Jerusalem, next to Ramallah, in the West Bank. And it's a beautiful, beautiful yeshuv, and I love it here.
A yeshuv is, it's become a very demonized word. A yeshuv is a settlement. So now you have seven daughters, Michali, and a lot of our listeners, we have listeners from today. I mean, good morning, Canada. Good morning, Cyprus. Good morning. Who else do we have listening in here today? We have, of course, Israel and the U.S. So you have seven daughters. You're living in the West Bank. Now, every time an American opens up the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Boston Globe, the Chicago Tribune, they see the words West Bank. Do you ever get to leave? Are you frightened to leave where you're living?
Not at all. We live our lives just like anybody else, and we come and we go and go to Jerusalem, travel to Tel Aviv, travel to wherever we want without thinking twice.
Right.
Not at all scared, not at all. I mean, this is the life. This is our country, and this is what we do. And it's really not scary. I mean, the news has made us think that it's like, we have snipers waiting for us, but it's really not like that.
Right. Now, that's incredible. So now you have these seven daughters. What is the age range, may I ask?
My oldest is 16, and my youngest is 10 months.
Very nice. Very, very nice. Now, Michali, it would seem to me that with seven children living in the West Bank, and as you said, you do get around, it would seem that you wouldn't have time for anything. Now, before I even ask you, because that I've done my research, okay, this is like all very, very phony, but I've done my research. I know that you worked for many, many years while having your babies. Can you tell us what you did for up until about 2 years ago? What was your job?
I worked in the municipality of Beit El, and I was in charge of the budget and all the finance, the gizbarot, what's called. It's like the treasury of Beit El. All the money and where it goes and what it does and budgeting it.
And so what you did this was was this a full-time job?
It was a full-time job. Meanwhile, I was having babies and finishing my degree. So it was very, very hectic.
Hectic. Well, that's your South Africanism coming out. It was hectic.
Yeah.
Right. So it was very hectic and you did this. And now you've just had your seventh baby and please God.
I had my seventh baby. I decided to take 2 years off. To just, relax and finish the degree finally and give some time to my family. And now my baby's 10 months old. I finished my degree and I'm looking to go back into the workforce.
I didn't even ask you. People are asking me. I just got a note. How old is she? I mean, according to what you've said, you've got to be about 57, 58, according to your life experience.
Well, I have a 10-month-old baby, so that would be pushing it, even though it is possible today. I'm 37. Okay. I started young. I'm 37. And I had my first baby when I was 20.
So now let me 21. Ask you. I know that you have friends who still live overseas. Stella, what would you say? Because, you hear my show and I don't pull any punches. I think that Jews belong living in Israel. I've been scolded a lot to be a little bit more compassionate, to be more understanding. I have siblings. I have a mother. I have cousins and friends still living in the States, and yet I lose a grip every once in a while, and I say, why aren't you living here? What would you say to a young family struggling or who claims to really deeply care about the Jewish state? What's something that you might say to somebody living overseas?
I'll tell you what. You know, 15 years ago, when I first came to Israel, I said to everybody, why aren't you here? Why? You know, it's not an easy move. And if I could do it, anyone could do it. And you guys could do it too. And if you really care, then you should be here. And today, we're at this stage in my life, and I see my friends in the same stages of life with little kids and trying to just make it and make enough money, I'm a little bit more compassionate. I understand it's not easy. I'm a little bit in the more practical stages of life that we're just trying to keep our family happy and healthy and, you know, make enough money. And I understand it's not easy. I do think all Jews should be here, and I'm glad that I have the merit to be here. But not everybody does, and it's not easy. And I understand that people are not able to make the move right now. And as long as it's in their heart, that's one thing. That's good, because that's not everybody has that either. You know, some people
that's,
are just
that's
you know,
very very true. It's very, very true. You know, when we talk about the period of the Greeks, we just finished Hanukkah. You know, one of the ways, and this always frightens me, you really hit a nerve when you said if it's in their heart. There are Jews who really equate Israel. They visit Israel, or they stop. They do a stopover on their way to Greece or to Cyprus or to the Far East, and they say, you know, it was very nice, very Mediterranean, but it doesn't necessarily speak to their belly. And this is,
right,
of course, what the Greeks did. They wanted to put the Torah on a shelf alongside of the New Testament, the New Testament, and the Bhagavad Gita and the Quran. And so to sit and say, think about moving to Israel.
Exactly.
And
I have a good friend. She was just telling me she's has an anniversary coming up, and she said, well, we're sort of deciding, should we go to Hawaii or should we come to Israel? I mean, like, what's the question? Of course you should come to Israel. At every opportunity, you should come to Israel. She's like, yeah, but Hawaii, you know. Yeah, I know Hawaii, but still, you know, Israel is where to be. And if you have the opportunity, at least come here to visit. At least come here to feel where you should be. You know, at least
right,
keep that yearning alive.
So it's very funny you're saying that, because, you know, because of the globalization, it really feels like a small neighborhood. I had a friend who recently, she came from the States to visit a friend in Sweden. And my attitude to her is, well, why don't you stop by? Why don't you come over? You're already halfway around the world. Just come over. But Israel gets such a bad rap. Now, you were recently... if I'm correct, you were recently in England. You had a family simcha, event in England. And how was the weather? How was the weather in there?
You know what? It was freezing. It was freezing. But thank God it wasn't raining, so we could at least walk around. The rain is miserable. I mean, Europe is miserable. The weather is miserable in the winter. I know people love London, but I find it very dreary and not so exciting.
No, we don't have any Brits listening in now. We'll put them on
okay,
the podcast.
Good.
Yeah, right.
You know, everyone's on the train and on the tube, and they're all like reading the newspapers, and there's silence, total silence. I mean, like, have you ever been on an Israeli bus? The decibel level is like everyone is talking, and this one's on his cell phone, and this one's commenting of, you know, why the other person dressed the way she did, and some grandmother's telling a little kid to put on his coat, and, you know, and in London, everyone is just like keeping to themselves, looking in their paper, and like just making sure not to notice anybody else around them. I mean, like, it's just not my scene.
Let me ask you a different question, because again, you come from LA. I'm embarrassed to say this. I've never been to California. I've actually written articles for the last 15 years for two California magazines. I've never been there. Do you sometimes think how different your life might have been had
Definitely.
You stayed?
Sure, I do. I mean, especially because I have friends that live there, and I speak to them often, and you know, great friends that are in contact all the time. So, yeah, sometimes I am a little tinge of jealousy. I miss the fluff sometimes. Not that I miss it, but like it could be nice sometimes when I'm looking at my house and I just wish that a cleaning lady would come and just clean it up like my friends have in LA. You know, there's so much help. And I don't have that in Israel, and it's more of a fluffy life, and it's, you know, sometimes I miss that, but we're doing. I'm happy that I'm here doing the real thing, and it's not either easy. They have their challenges too. You need a lot of money. The financial struggles are real. The keeping up with the Joneses is a real struggle, and people there really, really struggle with that, which I don't feel at all in Beit El, which is a blessing.
You know, Michali, I had you on the show today. I had you on the show because I'm introducing, you know, that I've wanted you on the show from the beginning. We only have 30 seconds left, but you represent to me the real heart, the real blood, the heartbeat, and the belly of our beloved country. And
thank you, Andrea.
I'd like to know, I mean, I always ask if you're willing. Are you willing to come back another time and give us some Shabbos recipes?
Absolutely. Sure. I could tell you how to cook Shabbos in an hour. How's that for a show that your listeners would love?
That's a great show. Seven kids, Shabbos in an hour. Shabbat Shalom to everybody from Jerusalem. Andrea Simintov on Pull Up a Chair.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Torres from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.